on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilia Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, NAFID has recommended extra COVID restrictions, including a 5pm curfew in hospitality, stay in place until January the 30th. The Omicron variant now accounts for 35% of new COVID cases in the Republic of Ireland. The Brandon report shows service users, families and staff were fielded in their response to what was happening at the Sean O'Hare unit in Argrania Court in Stranorlar. And many students across Donegal and further field have been left facing uncertainty as it's emerged the latest Susie Grant payment due today has not been received by students. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Nuix with Colin Farisher. First in news, NAFID has recommended extra COVID restrictions, including a 5pm curfew in hospitality, stay in place until January the 30th. The full cabinet is now meeting to consider whether to accept the advice on pubs and restaurants, as well as reduced capacity at large outdoor events. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
Still haunted by the ghosts of Christmas past, cabinet ministers are reluctant to go against NAFID advice, fearing the full backlash of the public if it turns out to be the wrong decision. They're looking at international evidence around whether Omicron is leading to increased hospitalisations due to the sheer number of new cases it's sparking. Most don't want to implement a 5 o'clock closing time curfew on the hospitality sector, with some believing that could be negotiated back to a later time. But some of the scenarios presented by health officials are very stark indeed, with a peak as bad as January just gone. A month-long curfew on hospitality would be a break from the current government policy that boosters are the way out of this wave, but that may be a break they'll have to take.
Well, the Omicron variant now accounts for 35% of new COVID cases in the Republic of Ireland, according to NAFID. A total of 3,628 coronavirus infections have been reported this evening. 420 COVID patients are in hospital, the lowest figure in over 2 months. 105 people are in intensive care with the virus, down 3 from yesterday. Well, there's a growing sense tougher COVID restrictions are incoming in Northern Ireland also, but there won't be clarity until next week. All the uncertainties having a knock-on effect with the hospitality sector dealing with an avalanche of cancellations. It comes as 1,887 new cases of COVID-19 are confirmed in Northern Ireland. 3 people have died from the virus there in the past 24 hours. All 7 of Donegal's local electoral areas now have COVID-19 incidence rates, which are below the national average of 1,305, with Glendies recording one of the 10 lowest rates in the country. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Letterkenny recorded 369 cases in the 2 weeks to last Monday, a 14-day incidence rate of 1,237 cases per 100,000 people. Clifford Stranorlar had 299 cases and a rate of 1,154, while North Innishowen saw 181 cases and a 14-day rate of 1,067. The Donegal LEA had 266 cases and a rate of 1,004, while in South Innishowen, 205 cases led to a rate of 917. Milford saw 118 cases and a rate of 857, while Glenties recorded 179 cases and a rate of 748, the 9th lowest in the state.
The Brandon report shows service users, families and staff were fielded in the response to what was happening at the Sean O'Hare unit and Ardgrania Court in Stranorlar. That's according to Bernard O'Regan, who is head of operations for disabilities with the HSC. He says the report was shocking, but has committed to implement the recommendations contained within it. Mr. O'Regan told today's 9 till noon show that a scoping exercise is now taking place, with records being examined to see if any other incidents happened, and that if that proves to be the case, he says swift action will be taken. He's apologised to residents, their families and staff.
Many staff worked really hard, tried to do the right things, and the system failed them as well. So I wholeheartedly regret that that was the experience. We have thousands of staff working in disability services across the country. They are very committed to the work that they do. They often work in very challenging environments to support people to have good lives, to participate in their communities, to work at and deliver reforms in how services are organised and delivered. And when they are let down by management or policy or lack of adequate training and support, we're letting them down. And by extension, we're also letting down the people that we support ultimately. This is a terrible report in terms of the content of what it's describing. People were failed, families were failed, and staff were failed. But it's also a report that makes very strong recommendations about what needs to happen to address this and also to prevent it. And all I can do is apologise again to all those affected, but also give assurance that we are working as hard as we can to implement the recommendations of the report.
Meanwhile, the chair of the Green Party in Donegal has said he fears a major scandal will develop in nursing homes in the next number of years. Commenting on the publication yesterday of the executive summary of the Brandon report, Michael White says the pattern of what happened in terms of staff members reporting abuses and then higher-level managers failing to address their concerns is one which has been seen before.
None of us would know about this if it weren't for a whistleblower. If we want to make sure this doesn't happen in future, whistleblowers need greater protection than they currently have. Mm-hmm. There's a report from Harvard Business School talking about how they can be protected and incentivized. We would never find out about this if it weren't for the whistleblower. The second thing is there a mechanism to ensure that this doesn't happen again, not only in similar situations in the HSE with people who have intellectual disabilities, but generally, I mean, there's a pattern here. If you look at the pattern of a perpetrator, the line manager's not paying attention, and then the first recourse is to move them around. That sounds a lot like what happened to children in the Catholic Church and parish priests being moved around. We've seen this pattern before. Who normally gets affected? It's the most vulnerable. So in the case of the church, it was kids. Here we're talking about adults that are intellectually disabled. My guess is the next most at-risk people, just on top of my head, is that people in old people's homes. I think the way that's structured in Ireland, there's going to be a scandal there in the next 10 years' time too, because it's a for-profit industry that really shouldn't be for-profit. Again, people are put in institutions and kind of forgotten about, and there's not enough protections and regulatory protections to protect them. So that's where I suspect the next big scandal is going to be in the next 10 years.
Talks on the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol will resume in the new year. It's after progress on the issue of medicines was reported by both the UK and EU today. However, Britain's Brexit Minister David Frost says there was much less progress in other areas associated with the protocol. EU Commission Vice President Maro Sefcovic today announced EU moves to ensure continuity of supply of medicines between Britain and Northern Ireland.
The EU and the UK are partners with shared values and shared global challenges. So it is time to change gear and bring our partnership to the level on which it belongs.
Almost €27 million in funding has been announced for Donegal's national roads for 2022. Transport Infrastructure Ireland is making the money available to Donegal County Council. Welcoming the announcement, Agriculture Minister Charney McCodloch says continuous investment in Donegal's road network is crucial for the county and for its safety, competitiveness and tourism offering. Meanwhile, an additional €2.5 million has been allocated to greenways across Donegal. The funding from Transport Infrastructure Ireland will assist in progressing a number of projects right across the county and will see an expansion of cross-border greenways also. Included in the allocation is €50,000 for initial works on a greenway at Barnesmore Gap and €800,000 to continue works on the Castlefin to Carrigan's Greenway. Councillor Patrick McGowan says it's a very important announcement and can help the East Donegal area reach its tourism potential.
Barnesmore Gap now is going to be added to the list of greenways that are going to be developed. There's 50,000 to start scoping exercise, and this will be added to the other greenways like Castlefin to Carrigan's. They got money last year, and this year, or 2022, they're actually going to get another 800,000, as are a number of well-known greenways throughout the county in Bolton Port and Letterkenny.
The inclusion of Barnesmore Gap on this occasion opens up the prospect of perhaps a network of greenways emanating out of the Twin Towns heading down towards Ballyshannon, Bundoran. This could potentially be the start of something very big.
Yeah, this is actually a border corridor. It actually would be a greenway and a blueway because there's a number of rivers and lakes throughout that. If you take from Ballyshannon to Donegal Town to Balbuffet, like this stretch of Barnesmore Gap, like it'll kickstart that. We've already got commitments for, as I say, Carrigan's up to Lifford and Castlefin, and again that goes along the border and the corridor. So it's linking up. It's actually linking up the coast to coast, and it's the Wide Atlantic Way that'll start bringing that into East Donegal. We've been complaining for years we don't get the same products and the same investment in tourist attractions. We have the hotels, we have great services, shops, something else. And East Donegal, and we're well situated, and now we're going to be linked up with all the other tourist attractions, and particularly walks that are developing now everywhere.
Many students across Donegal and further afield have been left facing uncertainty as it's emerged the latest SUSE grant payment due today has not been received by students. Earlier in a social media post, SUSE confirmed that scheduled payments were to be issued to higher education and PLC students today. However, as a result of an unknown error, many students who may have been depending solely on the grant money have been left without. Disability campaigner Vicky Matthew, who is a student at IT Sligo and herself was due to receive the payment, says many families will be facing further financial strain today.
I don't know if it's all students or if it's only a percentage of students across the country that didn't get paid. But not a nice thing to happen in the mouth of Christmas.
And indeed, many students depend on these SUSE grants from payment to payment, so many would be unable to purchase food today or find their way home.
Yeah, and then there could be landlords waiting. You know, like, I know that my son used to pay his landlord based on the SUSE date, so they'd have that added pressure as well. As you know yourself, somebody could be studying in Dublin or Limerick or Galway and have to travel back up to Donegal, so and the same for other students living away from home. So it's an awful predicament to be in. And also, you know, I'm on a low income, a lone parent on disability allowance. So if I had a child that needed money today because they didn't get their payment, I wouldn't actually have those funds to help them out. And I'm sure that's a case for a lot of low-income families across the country today. They'll be getting calls from their children who need to come home or pay rent or do something, and they're going to struggle to help them. I'd, you know, ask all TDs across the country, could they contact their relevant departments, Department of Further and Higher Education, and SUSE, to find out what exactly is the problem. And, you know, get an answer out there to these students and families that are dependent on this grant.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start this evening with swimming. And Tokyo 2020 finalist Mona McSherry set her second Irish senior record of the meet when finishing fourth in the 50-metre breaststroke final at the 15th FINA World Short Course Swimming Championships in Abu Dhabi. Sligo's McSherry, based at University of Tennessee in the US, set a new Irish record of 29.65 in the semi-final and then bettered that in the final, clocking 29.59. She finished fourth, touched out of the medals by 0.04 of a second, with Israel's Anastasia Gorbienko taking gold. Mona was happy with her time.
I can't but be happy with a PB. I progressed through the rounds, which is, you know, great to see. Of course, fourth is gut-wrenching, but if you look at it the other way, I was fourth. So, I mean, that's not horrendous.
Moving on to Gaelic Games, and this Sunday, Downings will contest the Ulster Junior Football Championship final in Clonus. You can join Oisin Kelly and Brenton Devaney for full live match commentary from the 1 o'clock throw-on time here on Highland Radio. Cavan side Den, they provide the opposition for the Donegal champions. Downings captain Ben McNutt says they've enjoyed their Ulster journey to date and hopes they can get the all-important win on Sunday.
It's been great. You know, the club's been in it twice before the Junior Ulster Championship and hasn't got past the semi-final stage, so there's a lot of pressure on us maybe when there's a lot of talk about it this season once we won the county championship. But, you know, it's great. I feel like we've been getting better each game as we went on. You know, the quarter-final when we played for a half, really, and the Down champions came back at us, and then the last day again up against a strong team. But we managed to get the points over the bar at the right time, and, you know, hopefully we'll do the same on Sunday.
Wasn't the last day, it was were a big physical team that you met in Sean McDermott's. What do you know about the Cavan champions, Dan?
Well, we've only seen what they played this year in the Ulster Championship, what's been videoed. I've watched the game against Desmond Martin. You know, they'd be much like ourselves in the way they set up. So, but they have a couple of good forwards. All their full forward line is handy. You know, they have a couple of guys that play for Cavan. They'll have to be well marshalled, you know. And they have a centre-half back there, and their full-back's tidy as well, so you know, the boys are going to be on their top game to get over the line.
You had a huge performance in the Junior Championship final to lift the title in Donegal. You beat the Down champions. They did a big one last week, in fairness, to beat the Monaghan side, Sean McDermott. Yeah. Will it take the best performance of the year if you're going to come through this next one?
It definitely will. You know, they enter in the final for a reason. They're a great side, you know, great players. So from 1 to 30, we'll need to be at it on Sunday if we want to be bringing the trophy back to Downing's on Sunday evening.
Yeah, hopefully they can. You can watch that full interview with Ben on the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Also on Sunday, the AIB Ulster GA Hurling Senior Championship final is on. Ballycran of Down play Sloughneil of Derry. And in the Senior Club Championship in football in the athletic grounds at 4 o'clock, Glen of Derry play Kilcoo of Down. Also at the weekend, the Intermediate Club Championship semi-finals, Steelstown of Derry, they play Butters Ridge of Cavan. These games are on Saturday. And Moortown of Tyrone, they're up against Chiernanoog of Antrim. Back locally, the under-21 hurling finals on Sunday at Setanta up against St Eunan's, and the under-21 C football championship final sees Cairn Donagh play Naofora of Convoy. And also on Saturday in the O'Donnell Park, Mulford are up against Mallon. That's an under-21 B football championship final. In other Gaelic games news, Dublin's Philly McMahon has announced his retirement from inter-county football. The Ballymun Kickhams player won 8 All-Irelands with the county during a 14-year career. McMahon says his time with Dublin took him on a journey he'll never forget. Moving on to soccer, and Stephen Kenny says there's no update on his contract situation as Republic of Ireland manager. It's believed talks are ongoing regarding a potential extension to his current deal, which expires in the summer. Kenny believes Ireland can win the Nations League group with a campaign that begins at home to Ukraine in June, and the manager believes he has the squad capable of doing it.
We couldn't have it. We don't have one just set 11 now going forward for these four games. Like, we're building the squad that we're going to need those players for the four games, and there will be an element of rotation and so forth in that. And some of the other teams, will have to do that as well. So, it's the same for everyone.
Robbie Benson has followed Stephen O'Donnell back to Dundalk. The playmaker left Oriel Park for St Pat's 2 years ago. Benson his return follows news of a new long-term deal for Dundalk striker Pat Hooban. And a GoFundMe page has been set up to support Finn Harps player Adam McCaffrey and his family as Adam recovers from a serious injury. On Sunday last, the Finn Harps under-19 player suffered a serious head injury during a football match and was transferred to Dublin for treatment. The parents of the Finn Harps under-19s have come together to set up a GoFundMe page to help support Adam and his family through this very challenging time. A link to the fundraising page is available on our website, highlandradio.com. On the pitch tonight in Irish League Premiership, there's two games down for decision. Larne, they play Linfield, and Glentoran, they're up against Glenavon. Tomorrow, Coleraine play Crusaders, and Dungannon Swifts, they're up against Ballymena United. In rugby, Ian Henderson's back in the Ulster side for tonight's clash with Northampton. In a boost to Ulster, that game starts at 8 o'clock tonight at the Kingspan Stadium. Finally, for this evening, in darts, it's been another good day for Irish competitors at the World Darts Championship. Steve Lennon's into the third round following a 3-1 victory over Poland's Krzysztof Rzeczycki. The Carlow native will play either Merv King or Ryan Joyce in round 3. Earlier, Keane Barry survived a scare to beat Hong Kong's Rowden Lam by 3-2. The Meath man will go up against 8th seed Johnny Clayton in the third round. Still to come this evening is 2020 champion Peter Wright. He opens his account against Ryan Melkey. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, an enhanced accessible toilet and changing facility is to be developed in Letterkenny after Donegal County Council secured a €75,000 allocation under the Disability Participation and Awareness Programme, with the bulk of the money going towards a changing places unit. The unit will serve people with complex needs. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh is Mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District and a disability campaigner. He says work should start on the project in the new year.
In terms of timeline now on it, the grant runs from April 2022 until March 2023. So the work has to start by April next year and has to be finished by March the following year. Hopefully, if we can, you know, find a suitable location now, get it started in April, we should have it, and ready for the summer of next year.
with an eye dry this evening and mostly cloudy. Lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, NPHET has recommended extra COVID restrictions, including a 5 p.m. curfew in hospitality, stay in place until January the 30th. The full cabinet is currently meeting to consider whether to accept the advice on pubs and restaurants, as well as reduced capacity at large outdoor events. The Omicron variant now accounts for 35% of new COVID cases in the Republic of Ireland, according to NPHET. A total of 3,628 cases have been reported this evening. The Brandon report shows service users, families and staff were failed in the response to what was happening at the Sean O'Hare unit and Ardgrania Court in Stranorlar. That's according to Bernard O'Regan, who is head of operations for disabilities with the HSC. He says the report was shocking, but has committed to implement the recommendations contained within it. And many students across Donegal and further afield have been left facing uncertainty as it's emerged. The latest SUSE grant payment due today has not been received by students. Earlier in a social media post, SUSE confirmed that scheduled payments were due to be issued to higher education and PLC students today. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is news with Colm Ferter, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Shéir Mahasa, Colm Ferter in Shotland, the Prive Skelty Air Highland Radio. Corubella lasihe na jangaha offigula yavila ogazani jeg frij rail erin and chagdin shaw togan and belia ai erhain kestina a ardu tarish process kolyahan ogaz jisporokt con frastel erichtanish canchori giliga ogaz ebriha publi sigeltert. Point act lasihe talin the ganchori giliga a arkahar quig and servish publi avedu. Is a shin go me fiha fwingid than a harki nua in a ganchuri giliga river geru fiha ugus troha. Ugus gur tri van the giliga a car her service she stach or foil sigeltocht. Carter shias sevilla comai or gulga she fuilai a veas er colacti publi. Ahan she horch than she knew father and anyam na hadini. Fragra in giliga a horch in homersaj a yanfer low in giliga na man social to. August Bay Artu Fihe Fingid the Fogriot Saku a Yen of Ingeliga, Kuig Fingid and Ogriotchen a Yen of Snaman Geliga, August Bay Dulgus on Fogriot a Yen of Goya Hanga Erelayed, August Farmaha Irish a Currer Foiling Geliga Sonarov. Tal Afru Foyai Ergulgus and Commissioner Changa, Kurhashi Savilla Homai, Chichen Monitorukt a Yen of Raktiokt a Winnin Lishin Geliga Fina Hurum. Majorlish and Act Lassie, Bonahur, Kostu Ur, Khorlach, Con Monitorukt, a Kholinu, Hervishi Geligis, Geliga, Augusta Plan, Nashunta, Archiokta, Latarinch, Aeneas Foster, Conan Sprick, Fiha Fwingid, the Offigi Ura, and the Service Pobli, a Kinchu. Shimbahodche, Eligolier, Slanagus Banacht.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, December the 17th. The death has occurred of Bridget Watson Maharabeg. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there on Monday morning at 10 o'clock to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Bridget's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations and new if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridget McGuinness, Don Roman, Carol Naff, Moville. Bridget's remains will repose at Liam Collins' funeral premises from 6 o'clock this evening and then on to St Pius X Church, Moville, for 7:15 to repose overnight. Bridget's funeral mass will take place tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Ballybrack Cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. The death has taken place of Paddy P.K. Kerrigan, 29, Mount Sion, Strabane, and formerly of Newton Stewart. Fiona leaving his home tomorrow morning at 20 past nine for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private to family and friends only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Leo Tuffy, Ella Begburn Foote and formerly of Lachlan Enniscrone, County Sligo. Removal from his home tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Burt Cemetery. Leo's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of James McGee, Capri Ballybuffet. James's remains are reposing at his late residence with family, neighbours and friends welcome. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorder tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. And the death has taken place of Miss Tracy Gilbreth, Ardmullen Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late parents' residence at Milltown Convoy. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for funeral service in St Ninian's Parish Church Convoy at 2 o'clock with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family, friends and neighbours welcome at the wake and funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St Ninian's Parish Church, care of Gibson Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.